course, tonight, Bianca Andreescu in her first ever quarterfinal at the U.S. Open and at a tennis major. Be on at just after 5 o'clock Edmonton time. Michael Gallo joins us from talk some TSN tennis. And Michael, a huge night tonight for Bianca. She's the 15th seed in the tournament. She comes in as the favorite tonight, taking on Mertens, who's seeded 25th. If you just break down their games, do you see an area where Bianca has a decisive advantage?
Well, yeah, she's got a major advantage in almost every category. It's her power. It's way more powerful. Her variety is much more different. Mertens' game is a little more one-dimensional, where she just kind of, everything's kind of just coming back at you and plays the points. Just a little more consistent. Bianca's got a bigger serve. She's got a higher tennis IQ as well. So if you go down all the check marks, she's got a major advantage in this match. It just comes down to Bianca executing her game plan as she goes in. Her game plan all tournament and her whole career is just kind of keeping her opponent on their toes and not knowing what's coming from her. And as long as she executes that game plan, there's no way that that she should be able to lose this match.
Her coach was basically, you know, almost talking in complete adulation about her ability to have a game plan and then play to that game plan and not get rattled very often. I think maybe, you know, when you look at Bianca and just how she carries herself with a lot of poise and grace, we probably forget how young she is, because she seems to have that old soul to her where she's a lot more mature than what her birth certificate says.
Yeah, it's like she's playing as a 30-year-old, but in a 19-year-old's, you know, body almost. She's got, like, her IQ is just through the roof. She can dissect. She can go into a match with a game plan, like she did against Townsend the other night. And she kind of got away from that game plan and kind of figured out, well, Taylor Townsend is a player that comes to net a lot. So in the first set, she played shots that would be effective against someone who comes to the net. Well, Taylor Townsend stopped doing that in the second set. And the match kind of got away from Bianca for a little bit, but she kind of figured it out, changed her game plan, went back to what worked in the third set. So she kind of changes so that she can see things going on as they happen. Might take a game or two to figure it out, but she figures it out, and then she does it very, very well. That's why you've seen her record of three set matches this year at 16-3, which means that whenever a match is going the distance, she's the one who figures it out. That's probably the most incredible stat I've seen from Bianca of all of them this year, is how to win these long matches.
Now, speaking of it, we were talking about it earlier. Do you think women's tennis would ever go to five sets as a major? There's lots of talk about, you know, equal pay across the board. Well, if they went to five sets, you know, there probably wouldn't be much argument. When you buy your tickets, you're buying it not for men or women. You're just buying tickets to get in, and you watch the matches, and they strategically, you know, have them rotated on main courts at all these events, males to females. Would five sets be that much of a step up for the females?
I wouldn't see that happening. I mean, there's always been the talk about having, you know, since there's equal play, okay, should there be the men and women playing best of three at each set? I don't see ever the women going to best of five.
Okay.
Now, it's possible that the men one day could go to best of three.
Really?
It's in Slams and Davis Cup are the only tournaments right now that they have that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen, but it's definitely more likely than the women going to best of five. That's been a big question mark last few years in determining equal pay. You know, it's only the Grand Slams and Davis Cup that really have the best of five left right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all the other tournaments like Masters events, ATP 250s and 500s, they're all best of three. So they've kind of, the men, you know, mainly play best of three matches throughout the year, except for Grand Slams. So yeah, that would be the only scenario I think could happen. I just really don't think that women would go that distance.
Okay. Have you ever talked to females about it? Like, and obviously if men are only doing it in the majors, right, in the Davis Cup, then they're not doing it very often. How much more taxing is it? Have you talked to the males when they all of a sudden will go, you know, 3 weeks in a row, they're playing three sets, and then boom, they're up to five?
I've actually talked to a couple of the female players, and they said, sure. I mean,
okay.
I don't know how much you can take into that of them saying it and actually going through with it. But a couple of players did say, yeah, I mean, why not? If the men are doing it, why not? Why not for us? But it is a very unlikely scenario. It's being talked a lot, but there's never been much action about it or being brought up at, say, player council events or whatnot. I've never spoken to a male player about it before, but it's hard to see any possible changes in the near future in that situation.
We're talking U.S. Open, of course. Bianca Andreescu tonight in the quarterfinals, her first ever at a major tennis. Michael Gallo joined us. And, you know, Bianca, of course, she wins in Toronto. That's huge for her. But you look at her whole season and, you know, she seems poised. She's been getting better. She overcame the shoulder injury. So she seems healthier now. But, like, you just look at her game and you talked earlier about the power and everything else. Like, I don't like to make comparisons straight across the board. Like, Eugenie Bouchard had an unbelievable year, right? Remember when she made to all the semifinals and the majors, and she wasn't able to maintain it. Bianca's style and power seems different, that, you know, this is something that could be more long-term. Is that fair?
100%. She's got the game to give everybody problems for a consistent amount of time. Jeannie's game was more of a baseliner, and it was very one-dimensional, good defense. Serve wasn't as big, didn't have as much power. And, you know, she was kind of the new girl on the block, so players really didn't know what to expect from her. They weren't anticipating much from her because she had just come around. Now, that's the same said for Bianca as well, but Bianca's game is totally different. She keeps her opponents on their toes at all times. They don't know what's coming. So when you're playing someone and you don't know what kind of shot's coming, it's really, you're playing a guessing game. And that wasn't the case with Jeannie. Now, Jeannie had good success in the Grand Slams when she had her really, really impressive year. But Bianca's had her success in Indian Wells and, you know, in Canada a couple weeks ago. She's having success now that she's healthy in a Grand Slam as well. And keep in mind, Jeannie Bouchard didn't win a title that year as well. She's got only, still to this day, only one WTA title, which is a small event in on clay. Now, Bianca's already got two titles just this year alone, and potentially, you know, the biggest win in Canadian history come Saturday, hopefully. And I really see her game getting even better as she develops. And I just hope that this week ends with a happy story in New York.
You look at Serena Williams. Now, they wouldn't meet until the final, of course, because if Andreescu wins tonight, she'll play Bencic, and then potentially maybe Serena in the final. But you go back to Mertens, and you talk about Bianca having a lot of the advantages in key areas. But Mertens has still made it here. Has she just had an easier draw, or what has she done so well to get to the quarterfinals?
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned that because, you know, she's actually the only player, men, male or female, that hasn't given up more than three games in any match at the U.S. Open. She's won all of her sets, nothing more than three games against. However, if you look at her opponents, she hasn't even played a top 50 player yet. She had a really good draw, and all of her opponents are outside the top 50. So that's a big reason why she's here. Now, if you look at Bianca, she's also had a pretty easy draw as well. I mean, she did have to play Wozniacki, but she already beat Wozniacki earlier this year as well. But she's kind of had an easier draw because Simona Halep went out early on to Taylor Townsend, and that's who Bianca ended up beating in the fourth round. So that's kind of why Elise Mertens is there. No, she's definitely a great player. There's no doubt about it, and she shouldn't take her lightly, but that would be a big reason why that they're meeting in the quarterfinals right now. And looking forward to, you know, if Bianca was to win tonight, Bencic would be a much more difficult opponent than tonight. And we just watched her a couple hours ago win her quarterfinal match against Donna Vekic, and she played fantastic. And she's coming off a really bad injury last year, and she's been making her way back. So, and she actually won in Canada 4 years ago. So kind of nice to see her back on the big stage. So it's a tough path from here. It hasn't been that difficult for Bianca yet, but it's going to get much more difficult starting tonight and on our way to the final.
Michael Gallo joins us, TSN analyst, talking U.S. Open. Quickly, when it goes to the draw every time, now part of my ignorance on this, but you know, sometimes I'll see quarterfinals and semifinals, and I would just assume that one would be versus four and two would be versus three, but it's not always like that. Sometimes I've seen one and three in the same semifinal. How do they set it up? Like, I know one and two can never face each other until the final, but is that it? Like, it's never automatically one and four on the same side in a semifinal bracket? How do they decipher, you know, from tournament to tournament, how they make out the draw as far as drawing the numbers of rankings?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, when I first started covering tennis, I actually had to ask the same question as well, and I'm glad I did, because the way it works is before the tournament starts, you've got your number one seed at the top, your number two seed at the bottom, and they do a random draw for number three and four.
Oh.
So number three could be at the bottom, and number four could be at the top. But obviously, it's guaranteed that the projected path to the semifinals, number three was put in the top section, number four is put in the bottom section, that obviously number three wouldn't have to play number one until the semifinals. So it's not like they'd be put in, say, a third round projected matchup. So they just kind of do a random draw before that tournament starts, whatever it may be. And that's kind of the way it goes. I guess it's a good way to do it. But if you look at this year, it was very interesting because you had Rafael Nadal number two, Djokovic number one, and everyone was trying to figure out where Federer was going to be. Was it going to be on Nadal's side or was he going to be on Djokovic's side? And he ended up being on Djokovic's side. And guess what happened? Djokovic and Federer neither of them made it to the semifinals, so it actually didn't even work out that way. So it's kind of crazy how it works. U.S. Open has been a very, very, you know, a lot of upsets on the men's side for sure, and that's always some talk when it comes down to who ends up where going into a Grand Slam.
Well, I'll say right now, Medvedev, this tournament, is the heel that tennis didn't even know they needed. He's been playing that role spectacularly well. And it's funny because in Montreal, I saw him doing French interviews. Fans were loving him. And it's just, you know, he's kind of embraced the heel at the U.S. Open. And he's been fun to watch. And he's played extremely well. You know, he dominated yesterday. Now he's into the semifinal tomorrow. On Friday, excuse me. He's looking really good.
I absolutely love it. What he's been able to not only do on the court, but how to embrace the New York crowd, because New York crowd's got that reputation of kind of giving it to players, depending on whoever they're playing. If they're playing, say, like an American player, or say Federer, who's been a fan favorite at U.S. Open for a long time, but he got some, you know, he got a lot of flack from the U.S. Open crowd when he ball boy went up to him. And he kind of threw his towel away from him, and they all booed him. And he kind of, you know, he made a gesture to the crowd. I'm not sure if you've seen it or not, but he kind of made a gesture to the crowd that nobody liked. The umpire missed it, and they weren't happy about it, and they booed him the entire match after that. And he embraced it. He fed off it. It was good fuel for him. And his post-match interviews have just been just outstanding. And I think it's almost like we're – they've embraced it so much now where he's not even, I guess, at this point, not hated as much as he was a few matches ago. I love it. And he's been arguably the best hardcourt player of the entire summer. You know, he made the final in Washington, made the final in Canada, won Cincinnati for his first Masters event, and now he's in the semifinals of the U.S. Open and a favorite to make it to his first Grand Slam final. So it's excited. I'm really excited for him. He's such a fun player to watch. He rarely makes mistakes. And he's got that villain role that tennis kind of had with Kyrgios, but not to his extent. And I'm just really excited for the semifinal match on Friday.
Really appreciate it, Michael. What's your prediction for tonight?
I've got Bianca in two tight sets. You know, it depends on Mertens comes out. If she's going to be able to anticipate any of her shots, if she's able to, she'll keep it tight. But I'm hoping that Bianca has her way tonight.
Appreciate your time. Thanks.
Take care, Jason.